Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise one more time. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him one more time. Let's adore Him. Let's worship Him. In the spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless You, God. We praise You, Jesus. I will take my text this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24. And while you turn your Bibles there, I'd like to express my thanks to Brother Mangan, Sister Mangan, Brother Mangan and Sister Mangan. I'd like to give honor to all the officials, all my elders that I respect, and I submit to it. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this great meeting. After last night, I was ready to pack up and go home. I'm telling you, I don't have any more tears to shed this morning. I'm telling you, it was a powerful move of God. Let's read the word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Then one more scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can we pray one more time before we... Oh, God, thank You for Your word. Hallelujah! We praise You. We give You honor. Oh, God, touch me. Untunción sobre mí, ese día, Dios. Hatorabo kayabo shata. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I know that I'm speaking to a man and woman of God that has a great understanding of the Scriptures. Some are even theologians with many years of experience in the ministry. So I know that I don't have to elaborate in detail about the agony and the pain and the shame that involved the process of crucifixion. So I will skip certain details for the sake of time. But I am sure that you agree with me that the crucifixion was a horrible way to die. I do believe that we all agree that the crucifixion was a very shameful death. I don't have enough words in my vocabulary, whether it's Spanish or English, to paint a picture of what really took place in Calvary. As great as is the production of Messiah that is put together by the Pentecostals of Alexandria, probably the closest thing that gives us a clear idea of what it took place in Calvary, it still is not enough for us to completely understand what crucifixion is all about. And this morning, I'm not coming to impress you with a great message and with a lot of cliches, but I just want to talk to you about crucifixion. Because I truly believe that that's the key to the revival that we heard last night and that we want to experience it in our hearts and in our churches and in our cities. The Old Testament speaks about crucifixion as a curse. And the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. Those who were sentenced to the dead on the cross were stripped of their clothes, exposing their shame. Their bodies were whipped. The Romans used a whip called the Roman cat that consisted of leather strips with metal pieces attached to the ends. Every time this whip touched the body, it opened the skin in such a way that the inner organs and bones were exposed. While the cross was lying on the ground, they bind their hands and their feet with cords. But to increase the pain, they used nails to penetrate their hands and to penetrate their feet. And after finishing this process, they raised up the cross up, suspending the criminal between heaven and earth. This was the most cruel and horrible death. Only the antisocial, the most fierce criminals of that day were put through this type of death. The thieves that were crucified with our Lord, one of them recognized that they deserved such a punishment. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, talking about our Lord Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And even Pilate, and his desire to set the Lord free, he said, he has done nothing wrong. I find no fault in him. This morning I feel the same way. I don't find a fault in my Lord. He has been so good to me. I find no fault in him. And the Apostle Peter, he said, the just die for the unjust. Paul, once again, 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, has the power to come down from the cross. His flesh and his humanity felt the sharp pain of the most cruel and horrible death that a man could experience. He could have untied himself from the cross and come down from it. And at this point of my message, I'd like to bring to you the first question. What was it that kept Jesus nailed to the cross? Maybe someone will respond the same way the Sunday school boy responded to his Sunday school teacher. The boy said, "Teacher, it was the nails." But I'm sorry, little boy, your answer is sincere, but it was not the nails that kept Jesus nailed to the cross. Because if the nails could talk, even the nails would have cried out, "Detach us from you precious hands and feet." Someone else might say it was the Roman soldiers. But once again, let me submit to you that it was not the Roman soldiers, because the Lord himself told Peter that he had the authority to call 12 legions of angels, and they immediately would have answered to his cry for help. Brothers and sisters, it was not the nails, nor the Roman soldiers that kept Jesus from descending from the cross. Let me tell you what it was. It was this great love. It was his great love for the masterpiece that he created with his own hands 6,000 years ago that kept a nail to that wooden cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank God that he did not come down from the cross. Because if he would have decided to come down from the cross, today we wouldn't be the recipients of such a great salvation. We wouldn't have hope. Eternal death would have been our final destination. But because Jesus preferred to do the will of his Father, the flesh submitting to the Spirit, today we have life on this earth and hope for eternity. He bought the church. He bought the church with his own blood. He did not create it. He purchased the church with his own blood. He loved us more than any other thing in this whole universe. And he proved to us his love by paying the price with his own blood. And this morning, I know it's early. I know For some of us, they come from the West Coast, it's extremely early. But it's never too early to give thanks and adoration and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He was willing to humiliate Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, this other person clapping in your hands. This other person jumping in your feet. Knowing that Jesus was willing to stay on the cross. We need a revelation of what Jesus did for us in Calvary. We need a new touch of Calvary this morning. Brothers and sisters, He loved us. That's not the problem. He paid the price. Now we don't have to endure the same sacrifice or the beating of our bodies physically to be His disciples. The Lord paid the price for me and for you once for all. And I can do nothing physically. I can do nothing in the energy of my flesh to justify myself before God, because all of my deeds are as filthy rags before Him. The thing that we need this morning is the blood of Jesus Christ to cover us once again from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. And today the Lord wants us to identify ourselves with Him through a spiritual crucifixion of our flesh. The Apostle Paul is saying, Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Paul, the great Apostle Paul, he said, I identify myself with Christ by the crucifixion of my flesh, by the crucifixion of my passions, by the crucifixion of my carnal desires, and letting the Lord live inside of me. This doesn't work based in talents and abilities. This don't work just based in your ability and your eloquency. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to move inside of us. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. Our greatest enemy is not the world. Neither the devil. Our greatest enemy is our carnal nature. Brothers and sisters, this morning, carrying the cross. Carrying the cross is not enough. The Lord said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. The first step of the Christian walk is to carry the cross. And unfortunately, many Christians only want to carry the cross. But God good it does for me and for you to carry the cross if you are not willing to be crucified on it. If our Lord Jesus would have only carried the cross and would have not been willing to be crucified on it, He would have carried the cross in vain. Salvation was not produced by the cross being carried. It was Him being crucified on the cross that generated salvation for our souls. Brothers and sisters, to carry the cross is impersonal, but crucifixion is something personal. Carrying the cross has to do with religion, but crucifixion is a relationship. Carrying the cross is something external, but crucifixion has to do with the inner parts of our soul. Because even the Lord Jesus received help carrying His cross. The Bible says that Simon of Cyrene took the Lord's cross and carried it on his shoulders to the mountaintop. To carry the cross is something impersonal. Why? Because any person could help us to carry our crosses. Oh, I thank God for people that helped us to carry our crosses. Oh, thank God for brothers and sisters that have helped me to carry my crosses through the years. There's nothing more refreshing when someone comes and put their arms around you and prays with you. There's like a load that comes off your shoulders. Oh, it's nothing more beautiful and precious when someone comes around and helps you to carry your cross. The Lord teaches the strong needs to help the weak. And the Bible teaches to carry the way one to another. Anybody can carry the cross, but not everyone is willing to crucify himself on it. But it is the crucifixion that produces salvation and not the action of carrying the cross. If our Lord would have only carried the cross and have been willing to be crucified on it today, we will be lost. Oh, but thank God he was willing to pay the price. And this morning, if you are only willing to carry the cross and not willing to crucify your flesh and your passions, you carry the cross in vain. I can help you to carry your cross and you can help me to carry mine, but the crucifixion, I have to do it for myself. I had to crucify my flesh. No one can do it for me. It's something personal. There are a lot of carrying cross religious people in this world. Carrying the cross is an act of the human strain, of human ability, of human effort. And you cannot serve the Lord successfully based on your carnal energy. You need the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And this might shock you this moment. But even the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons and the Muslims, even though their doctrine is twisted, they are still carrying crosses. Don't you think when you see those people on Saturdays knocking doors and doing all those things, the way they have to dress and all the standards, you don't think that that's carrying crosses? Yes, it is. To carry the cross is the first step. Carrying the cross is the kindergarten of Christianity. Before Calvary, carrying the cross was enough. But after Calvary, crucifixion is the only thing that satisfies the heart of God. Oh, hallelujah. The act of the carrying of the cross does not identify us as children of God. He only identified us as the being religious people. It's the crucifixion that makes the difference. And I know believers who have deep convictions regarding moral standards and all the things that has to do with the human effort and discipline, but have never succeeded in crucifying their flesh. And that is not pleasing unto God, because Romans 8:6 says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And I believe everything that is prescribed in our manual of the United Pentecostal Church, we sign every year the affirmation form. We need to believe it, we need to preach it, and we need to practice it. But brothers and sisters, that's only the first step. That's only carrying the cross. And sometimes the cross gets heavy, and some have dropped the cross and gone the ways of the world, forsaking the truth because they tried to obey the scripture without the power of the Holy Ghost and the life. And the love killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The only way that we are going to be successful serving the Lord and reaching this lost and dying world is through the crucifixion of our flesh. And I don't think the Lord cares how good I look this morning. And I don't think the Lord cares on how good I'm preaching this morning. I don't think He cares how good I sing. If your heart is rotten, if your heart is dirty, filthy, full of envy, full of pride, full of prejudice, and because that's another thing we need to deal with. We Latinos need to put the prejudice under the blood, and you, whatever culture you come from, you need to do the same. And we need to unite our efforts to reach a dying world. When John saw in Revelation the vision that he saw a multitude of people from every language, every kindred. It's not only going to be white, blue eyes and blonde hair. It's not only going to be dark and black hair. No. It's going to be all kinds of people up in heaven. Some of you are going to be surprised. Who knows? But to our churches, everybody ought to be welcome. And we can only be successful reaching this world when we crucify our flesh. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That's the only way we're going to reach this lost and dying world. Crucify your stinking flesh. Oh, my language might not be perfect this morning. I might have a horrible accent before you. But I'm telling you, I want to reach my city and the doors of the church that I pastor are open. I don't care where they come from. I don't care the color of the skin. Our church is bilingual. We preach in Spanish. We translate all our services in English because there is no two churches. It's only one church. And in this big church, there's all kinds of nationalities in it. You are my brother. You are my sister. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been baptized in the same name. And we got the same spirit. Brothers and sisters, worldliness is killing its thousands. But carnality is killing its tens of thousands. Because if we practice the holiness standards to please the human eye, and we serve God in our own energy without the crucifixion of our flesh, we will fall in hypocrisy. Oh, and if there's something the Lord Jesus stuck very strongly in the scriptures, what's hypocrisy? We will be sepulchers white outside, but inside we will be full of dead bones. But on the other side of the coin, if we crucify our flesh, we will be willing to kick out of our lives, in our homes, all our worldliness, all filthy videos, all filthy magazines. We'll be willing to kick TV and makeup, and we'll do it with joy in our heart. And only then we will be able to live up to what we say we are. Because you are dead to the world and dead to your fleshly desires. And when you are dead to the world and dead to your flesh, you are alive in the spirit. And when you are alive in the spirit, the only thing that matters is pleasing God. Now, maybe you say, Brother Limones, how many times do I need to die? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. I don't care if you came to the Lord 50 years ago, or 30, or 20, or 10, or 5, or 1. You need to die daily. You can never get to the point that you can trust your flesh. Every day, I need to take this flesh and lay it on the cross and crucify it. Every day, the great apostle Paul says, I die daily. Oh, but I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I don't care who you are. Even if you are the apostle Paul, he says, I die daily. And if he died daily, I think we need to do the same thing. Every day you need to take this body and present it before the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. Do not come down from the cross. Don't you think that while Jesus was hanging on the cross, naked shame before the world, with the multitudes yelling, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Don't you think that he was tempted to come down from the cross like any other human being and take revenge on his enemies? Of course his human side did. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. He was not mankind to be God. He was God who became man. But the Lord put his flesh under subjection and made himself obedient to the death, even to the death of the cross, where he asked for water instead of water, they gave him vinegar. But he did not come down from the pinnacle of shame. He remained nailed to the cross. There are many who, while being crucified, have come down from the cross. When problems and trials had come into their lives, and life instead of water had given their vinegar, many have not been able to withstand the pressures and have come down from the cross. Their flesh had won. Paul says that I might know him, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, but also that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And if there's no problems and trials and temptations in our Christian walk, then how do we identify ourselves with our Lord and the fellowship of his sufferings? Oh, when precious of life cries, I'll come down from the cross. Please don't do it. Stay. Stay there. Maybe some of you have come with the idea, I can't have revival in the city where I am. I'm going to have to come down from the cross and go do something else. Don't do it. Stay there. God's going to give you the revival if you stay faithful and stay prayed up and filled with the Holy Ghost. Our Lord Jesus gave us the example. He had the power. He had the power of the whole universe. He had the authority of the whole universe. But he stayed there because he loved me and he loved you. And today we want to say, Jesus, we love you. But the best way to tell him that we love him is showing him that we are going to stay nailed to the cross, because actions speak louder than words. And sometimes we are so superficial, we are so external minded, that our hearts are far away from God. And the Lord spoke to the lips of the prophet Isaiah and told Israel, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far away from me. And what I'm talking about this morning is something internal, something of the heart. If your heart is right, everything else is going to be okay. Something that man cannot see. You can fool me and I can fool you, but no one can fool God. And today he's looking to all of us, and he's not impressed with the clothes that I wear. He's not impressed with the car that I drive. He's not impressed in the house that I live. He's not impressed with my talent and abilities. The only thing that impresses God is your heart. He cares what's in there. And last night, the Spirit of God came into this building. Brother Mangum preached like I never heard him preach before. Oh, God. God visited us last night. Anything that I had to take care of my life, it's been taken care of. I want to go out there. I want to keep teaching Bible studies. I want to keep reaching. I want it work. I told Brother Cunningham, I approached him and I told him, I said, there's nothing matters. Nothing matters. The only thing that counts is what we do for Jesus. Everything is trash. Everything is pride and vanity. The only thing that counts is what we do for Jesus. And I got a hurry. I truly believe that until our flesh is crucified, envy, jealousy, pride, prejudice, and backbiting, we will not see the revival that we want to see. Because except the grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, only then it will bring forth fruit. Because it was not until our Lord bowed his head and yielded up the ghost that great things happened. The greatest obstacle for revival, once again, is not the world, nor the devil, it's our flesh. That's why we are lacking sometimes of passion for the things of God, for evangelism, for prayer and fasting and worship unto our God. Because it was until the Lord yielded up his ghost that things happened. One of the things that happened, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The holiest of holies was exposed last night. The holiest of holies was exposed in this place. They saw the glory of God. The veil represented the flesh, and the flesh was rent in twain from top to bottom. And when we crucify our flesh, we pastors and ministers and congregations, we're going to see the glory of God back in our churches, just like we saw it last night. Let's not leave this glory in Alexandria, Louisiana. Let's take this glory with us to our cities. But unfortunately, we cannot pack him up. We cannot put it on a box. We got to take it. And when we get there, the only way we're going to see what we saw here last night is by the crucifixion of our flesh. Oh, that's the only way the veil of the temple is going to rent in twain. When I was growing up, Brother Scott is my elder. Thank you, Brother Scott. In Sunday school, when I was just a child, back in the small country of Ecuador in South America. Oh, I remember getting the Holy Ghost in the Sunday school. The kids are speaking in tongues. It didn't need to be on Sunday night. It didn't need to be at the big service. It was the teachers with passion in their hearts and their souls. They came to the classroom, prayed up and fast. They fast and they pray because they were ready to teach these children this truth. And I remember the Holy Ghost coming in, filling the classroom. Children, you get the Holy Ghost. You walk in the temples, and it was 11 and 12 midnight, and people are still there crying out to God. No wonder the little country of Ecuador shook by the power of God, and God gave us a great revival. We didn't have anything in regards to material things, but we have something greater, and that's the glory of God in our churches. And I don't want to lose that. God has blessed me. God has blessed me. But I don't want to forget where I come from. I don't want to lose the glory. And when we crucified the flesh, when the Lord was hanging there, gave up the ghost, the veil ripped into it, the glory of God was exposed. The second thing that happened when the Lord was crucified and gave up, yielded up the ghost, miracles took place. The Bible says that the earth shook, the earth quaked, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept were resurrected. When we crucify our flesh, there's going to be a great resurrection in our cities and in our churches. There are spiritual dead people in our cities that are going to be resurrected. The drug addicts
the alcoholics are going to come in to our churches. They're going to be resurrected by the power of the name and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the preaching of the Word of God. There's going to be a resurrection that's going to take place in our congregations. Saints, they don't want to pray. They are dead. They just sit there and watch. If I'm getting out of line, you correct me here. Saints, they are dead. Don't want to pray. Don't want to fast. They don't do. And they don't let anybody else do anything. Those that are dead. It's going to be a resurrection inside the churches. When we take this body, when we take this flesh, and we crucify it, brothers and sisters, it's going to be a resurrection in our churches. Pastors, it's going to be a resurrection in your church. You've been praying. You've been struggling with saints. They don't want to pray. They don't want to win souls. They don't want to give. That's the thing you need to do. Take this body. Crucify it.
That is good stuff. Hallelujah.
I don't mind if you play golf. I don't mind if you do sports, because I do some of that too. My Lord, if you're spending more time in all these entertainment things and less time in the prayer room, you need to take the flesh and crucify it one more time. That's why you're not seeing what you want to see. It's nothing wrong when you go and do those things. But my Lord, you need to spend some time with God. Crucify your flesh. It will be an awakening. It will be an awakening. Great spiritual resurrection. And the third thing that happened, and it did not happen by carrying on the cross. These happened by crucifixion, by the way of crucifixion. Carrying the cross was not enough. The third thing that happened, and when the Roman centurion saw all these things that were happening, he feared greatly. He said, truly, truly he was the Son of God. The Roman centurion kneeled down, and in that moment when Jesus was crucifying, yielded up his ghost, he received a revelation of the oneness of God. Nobody had to beat him on the head with the Bible, trying to make him understand the oneness of God. No, it was the love of crucifixion. It was the love of crucifixion. They brought a bow, a revelation of the truth, Brother Timmy. If we want to win the people that don't have a full revelation, don't knock it on the head. Just crucify your flesh and love them. And God's going to bring a bow, a revelation of the oneness of God. Oh, Garabu Shata Talabahaya. This did not come about. This did not come about by carrying the cross. It came about by crucifixion. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I get so busy. Sometimes I get distracted. Take this body, put him on the cross. I'm going to search. I'm going to seek after God. As the panteth, go after the word of books. So, oh my soul, oh God, after thee. I'm thirsty of you, oh God. I'm hungry. I'm put in this place at this rejection. The cross, there's no beauty on that cross. But at the same time, it's beautiful. What a contrast. There's no beauty, but it is beautiful. He brought about salvation. Foolish Galatians, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? If we want to see, let me wind down here. I run out of time. We want to see the glory of God. We want to crucify our flesh along with your passions and desires. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Paul says, if in anything I would glory, I'm going to glory on the cross of Christ. I'm not going to glory in how big my church is. I'm not going to glory in all the abilities and talents that God has given me. I'm not going to glory on all the diplomas that are in my office. I'm not going to glory in any of those things. But if I'm going to glory on something, I'm going to glory on the cross of Christ. Why? So no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why. No flesh should glory in his presence. Whatever thing that I might obtain, whatever thing that I might do for Jesus, my ministry, I will not take glory in any of that. The only glory that I will get, receive, is in the cross of Christ. And Abraham was going up to the mountain. I close this. He was going up to the mountain. Isaac, his teenager son, was with him. And Isaac looked at him and says, Father, I see you got the wood. And I definitely see that you got the fire. And I'm telling you, I thank God because we got a lot of wood. In our United Pentecostal Church. We got the best singers. Brother Cunningham preached last week at your headquarters. Got the best singers. We got the best preachers. We got the best in the world. Recognize that. We got fire. We got moved of the Holy Ghost. We crank out the music. Everybody shouts. But Isaac says, you got plenty wood. You got fire. But where is the sacrifice? And that's where we are right now. Oh, there's some young ministers in this building that who knows are waiting online, waiting for a church to open. Where there's hundreds of cities around the United States, then it's a church that preaches the truth. But you are waiting. You're sitting there. Why don't you get up and say, Jesus, here's my life. I present this body as a living sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? These elders paid the price for me and for you. Brother Scott came to Ecuador. I was only 6 years old. There's a young man that got there. Blacker, youthful, his wife. Kids were small. They did not know the language. They did not know the culture. They left behind a good church in Charleston, West Virginia. But he left all that. He crucified his flesh. He crucified the commodities of this beautiful country that has been so blessed by God. We are so blessed here. He left all that behind him. And then he flew to South America. People that cannot even know knew. Neither the language, neither the culture, but he was there. And I saw this man, as a young man, preach, pray, and love, and work day and night until his life was poor. He got so sick. He left it all over there. We experienced revival. I heard the thing that impressed me about this man was his praying. I was seeking after God early in the morning in camp meetings. When everybody was asleep, he'd be up early in the morning. And you hear at the distance them weeping and crying, some mourning. Oh, God. Yeah. And that gripped my soul. Yeah. And I learned. If there's anything I'm going to do for Jesus, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take crucifixion. That's what it's going to take. There's no glory on these. There's no glory. The only glory that we have is the cross of Christ. I don't know about you this morning. I know it's early. I know kudos, my language is not perfect, but oh God, I have a burden inside of me. Our greatest need is crucifixion. That's the greatest need that we have. Because we're going to identify with Jesus Christ to the crucifixion. Let's stand on our feet to our crucifixion process. So I give honor to this man, Brother Daniel Scott, and his wife this morning. Thank you for coming to Ecuador many years ago and helped us and helped me. Today, probably under the result of his ministry. And you never know who you're going to impact. You never know. You never know. And I learned from those missionaries. I learned from Sister Lucille Farman. I learned from Brother Larson that this story has been told time after time. We had the privilege to have him in our house at one time. And he was in Colombia. He was a Canadian man. We all hear the story. We read the books. I had the privilege to have it in our home. And the man went to Colombia. His wife. Catholicism is so strong over there. He prayed. He wept for revival in Colombia. Sister Larson died while she was giving birth to her child. And the people in Colombia did not let her, Brother Larson bury her in the cemetery. He could not even buy a coffin. So he had to build a coffin. He bought some wood. He did whatever he had to do. Build a box made out of wood. Put the body inside the box. We for many years was the temple of the Holy Ghost. He dig a ditch himself. He placed the body 7 feet under the ground. The United Pentecostal Church calling, you need to come back to the States, Brother Larson. He say, no, I came to this country with a purpose. I came to this country with a reason. I crucify in my flesh. And he reject the offer because he had a burden inside of him to reach the country for Jesus Christ. And today, somebody say there's almost 1 million Jesus' name baptized people in the country only because one man refused to come down from the cross. He says, no, I'm going to stay nailed and I'm not coming down from it.